HD3 Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We are celebrating the value of music today on Keeping the Faith, so we go from the jazz of John Axon Ellis on the tenor sax to a solo voice, Gene Redpath, singing a song by Robert Burns. And later we'll also hear from Julie Byler, the director of the Chorale here in Champaign-Urbana. And we're going to be talking and singing today on Keeping the Faith. Gene, what have you selected to play today?
Oh, the tailor fell through the besomel and all. The tailor fell through the besomel and all. The blankets were thin and the sheets, they were small. And the tailor fell through the besomel and all. The sleepy bit lassie, she thought it nail. The sleepy bit lassie, she thought it nail. The day it was long, and the lassie lay still, for she thought that the tailor could day her nail. But the tailor fell through the besomel and all. The tailor fell through the besomel and all. The blankets were thin, and the sheets, they were small. And the tailor fell through the bed, thimble and all. Now there's somebody weary, will lie in her lane. There's somebody weary, will lie in her lane. There's ain that is dowie, a trow would be fain to see the bed tailor come skipping again. For the tailor fell through the besomel and all. The tailor fell through the besomel and all. The blankets were thin and the sheets they were small, and the tailor fell through the besomel and all.
A song by Gene Redpath of Robert Burns. Gene, you've recorded how many of Robert Burns's CDs, albums?
180 songs, I think.
180 songs.
About half of his output.
Really? Wow. Tremendous. And listeners may find these at GeneRedpath.com online. And if you'd like to have your own copy to play when you wish, you may do that. And since we have so much music today, I might remind listeners that if you have HD, you may listen to this, of course, on AM 580, but also on 90.9 HD2 and HD3 FM. So if you get a slightly better sound on your radio with FM and you have HD, HD2 and HD3, this would be the perfect time to switch over to that. But it's not bad on AM. Pretty good. Jane, tell us a little bit about why you have chosen to sing so much Robert Burns.
I often ask myself the same question, Steve. Serendipitous accidents, I think. I grew up, somebody asked me just recently, I grew up with a few, but probably not identified at the time. It just was automatic that everybody knew Bonnie Doon, Eubanks and Braes of Bonnie Doon, probably My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. But they were performance pieces by Hands Clutched Under the Bosom Sopranos, which I abhorred from an early age. The impetus came about 25, 30 years ago when I was introduced to Serge Hovey, who was a Hollywood music writer. He's Russian Jewish heritage and much involved with writing scores. In fact, he was responsible for the original score for The World of Sholem Aleichem, which was kind of the forerunner of Fiddler. But Serge had gotten intrigued by a student who said to him, what does it mean in this poetry book when it says under the titles To the Tune Of? And what he was looking at was The Fate of Robert Burns, which is a printed poetry book indicating once in a while that the words he wrote were actually intended to be sung and not recited. And the man said himself, if I'm to be remembered for anything, it'll be for my songs, twice as many songs as poems. Well, Serge, being Serge, got intrigued and did about 25 years of research and came up with a manuscript for the Robert Burns songbook with a canon of 323 songs, the text being set to the melodies that Serge had established Burns intended in the first place and arranged, and then approached me as being the other half of that project. He would like to see them recorded. And the man worked with and against ALS for 18 years and died just before we recorded Volume 7. And in the meantime, I did a parallel recording of unaccompanied or mildly accompanied, in some cases badly accompanied, since I was playing guitar, songs, which are rather easier for people to memorize, which, of course, is my brief. Yeah. Don't just sit and listen to them. Memorize them and sing them.
Now, help us a little bit with the language. This is a new song for me, The Tailor Fell Through the Bed, Thumble and All.
Thimble.
Thimble.
Yes, since he's a tailor,
he has a thimble.
Thimble and all. Thimble and everything.
Ah, okay.
Everything he had with him, including the body, fell through the bed.
Wonderful song.
It is. It's a marvelous tune. And it's one of the many tunes that Burns used several times in different tempos. And, of course, it gives the whole text a totally different feel. Huh. It's actually a march.
We're going to be talking a little bit about music, singing solos, people singing together, and we even have a duet or two possibly coming up. But let me talk with Julie Byler, our other guest we have in the studio today here live on AM 580, WILL, Keeping the Faith. Julie, you're the founding director of the Chorale, and you've just had a concert, and Gene was one of the appreciative people in the audiences. In the audience, I could tell she was appreciative because she was smiling.
She does that a lot.
Tell us about the concert.
It was a great concert, actually. It featured the winners of our Young Artist Scholarship Award. We give $1,000 and honorable mention scholarships to young, deserving, talented high school musicians who are going to continue their studies at the university level. And we also try to bring back in periodic times former alumni, I guess you could say. Our winners this year were, we call her the violin virtuoso Rachel Kobliakoff, and flutist Eric Kobel. We had two runners-up, trumpet player Ben King and soprano Christine Rady. The two that performed, Rachel and Eric, were met with wild acclaim and great enthusiasm and have, I'm sure, great futures in store for them.
And both are going on into music.
They are. Eric is going into music performance and going to stay right here at the University of Illinois. And Rachel gave us the really exciting news at the concert, actually, that she, although she had auditioned at Juilliard, she was not sure because of the financial commitment, but she had received an additional assistance and was indeed signed up to go to Juilliard and is going to do great things there.
Well, it's too bad she couldn't get into the University of Illinois, but if she has to go somewhere, Juilliard's okay.
I would like to have her close, but she said she'll come back and play for us, so that's good.
And she is a violinist, as you said. And,
she is. She studies with Sibbe Bernhardsen of the Pacifica Quartet here in at the university.
Yeah, quartet in residence here at the university.
Right.
And Molly Netter came back.
Molly did. Molly was our 2006 winner, just a delightful, charming young girl who had a very young, pure, pleasant voice. And one of the great pleasures in having them come back is to see the growth. And she has had a great deal of that. She's concentrating in the Baroque area, but her professor at Oberlin is insisting that she stretch her voice and develop some of that depth and maturity that comes with age. And she's just delightful, always pleased to be here, grateful, never fails to acknowledge the chorale. And not only did she come back and sing some things on her own, but one of the things that just pleased me the most was that she was featured as our guest soprano soloist for the Pia Jesu of Rutter. And I tell you that Friday night at rehearsal, when she first stepped up to sing it, I said, it was all I could do to contain myself. I said, this is what this really is about.
Eve Harwood, her mother, was on the board of governors of the Y when I was director there before I retired. And so I've watched her grow and heard her sing several times. It's been a pleasure to see her.
Well, she is. Dan and Eve, actually, have told me that they're going to be the co-producers for my New Year's Eve show because we're going to do a Broadway
Dan
review.
Perino.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Dan Perino. Right, so, right. So we're looking forward to that.
That should be fun.
Reoccurrence there.
Well, I understand that although Jean, you usually just sing alone, you have been singing some duets with Julie here. Why have you been willing to consider singing?
Why?
Oh, good question.
There are two reasons.
Yes.
The flip one is if I don't, I sleep in the shed. other one is
you've been a guest with Julie.
Julie and her husband. Yes, I think I have moved in. I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell them either in case they panic.
We do call it Jean's bedroom, however.
I wait for the brass plaque on the bed one of these days. The other reason is because this woman has a beautiful voice, and often as I have tried to get her to sing, she won't. If we have more than an hour, I could give you my response to anybody with this kind of instrument who doesn't use it for other people's
regularly,
pleasure. But
yes,
since she does use it to encourage 70 other people to produce a gorgeous sound, I'll let her off the hook a little. But one way I can get her to use the voice is to sing duets with her.
Well, let me turn the question around to Julie then. Why did you say yes when Jean said, let's sing a duet?
I never said that.
No, you did not say that.
Oh, I think you did, actually. And I often wonder which of us was the braver, the one who said, let's do it, or the one who said, okay. You know, it took me a long time. We visited Jean in Scotland, and we would go into these various lovely, acoustically wonderful churches, and she'd say, sing for me, sing for me. And honestly, I don't think of myself as a shy person, but Jean and I could not be more different in terms of our voices. And she sings at the drop of a hat and has done that forever. Yeah. I was not trained that way. I was trained classically. And it's much more cumbersome as a classical singer. You warm up and you do all these kinds of things and then you perform. You just don't sit around. So it was a huge adjustment on my part and a great boost to widen my horizons. And I didn't have a lot of choice because when we first started learning the first one, I hadn't quite mastered it yet, but we were eating dinner, as I recall, in a restaurant in Scotland. And after dinner, as sometimes she is wont to do, she said, I feel like singing. So she asked permission of all those at the table if she could sing. She sang a couple, and then she began the duet and said, sing, as she's been known to do to audiences. Sing, she says. So it was baptism by fire, for
in
sure.
In a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Public restaurant.
Without being told. Right.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's me making my voice as much like hers as possible, which, of course, it isn't. But that's the thing about putting two voices together and coming together in some kind of similar sound, similar color, similar timbre.
Now, Julie, you talk about having been classically trained as a vocalist, as a singer, as a soprano. Jean, tell our listeners about your training to be a professional singer. You've been a professional singer, recorded 50 CDs, albums, been on the concert stage all around the world. How did you learn to do this?
48 years of hard work.
Yes, but when you first began?
Well, I had two voice lessons. I had one when I was 16 because neighbors had said incessantly to my parents, you should do something with that lassie's voice. So I went to the local piano teacher, violin teacher, guitar teacher, seller of sheet music, seller of guitar strings, seller of flutes, seller of anything else associated with music, who obviously had a deep, profound empathy for where my interest lay, checked two or three scales to know that I could follow one note by one higher or lower as requested, and said, hang on a minute, and went out in the front shop, came back with the sheet music for, I will never ever forget, When the Heather Gleams Like Stardust on the Hills, which is, shall we say, as a masterpiece of understatement, not my first choice of music to sing. And to my lasting shame, I've never paid him for the sheet music, nor did I ever go back. So that was lesson number one. Number two was delivered by an incredibly intelligent young woman who was the wife of the university organist in Edinburgh when I was a student there. And I, stubbing my toe and plucking my clothing, approached Zanna and said, I think I'd like to train my voice. And she smiled at me brightly and said, wonderful. What do you want to train it to do? And, of course, that stopped me dead in my tracks, because it had never occurred to me that one did anything other than improve on nature by whatever means available. And having talked to me for a little while, checked out the fact that I was breathing properly and doing no damage, she said, I think what you need to do is go sing for 20 years. So that was the training.
Well, let me push back to the start. Where had your neighbors heard you singing that they then said to your parents, this lassie should sing?
I have no idea. That never occurred to me, Steve. Oh. Presumably, I made a lot of noise. I know it wasn't in public because I was...
Did your family sing?
Yes. My father had the voice. My mother had the repertoire.
Oh.
She actually had a perfectly acceptable voice. I mean, she wasn't tone deaf or anything, but she would never, ever have claimed to be a singer as such.
But your father performed? He sang in public?
No, he was cripplingly shy.
Oh, was he?
Oh. Jean tells me that she and her mother used to sing at the kitchen sink together.
Do you remember the first song you ever learned as a child?
No. Brahms' Cradle Song, probably. Really? It's the only one I ever consciously went out of my way to memorize.
Interesting.
And I think that's probably the first one I sang at maybe age 11. Yeah. I was one of these disgusting kids where everybody had to face the other way, put the lights out and not look at me. I mean, stage fright was just...
Was it?
Just awful.
So can you imagine what it was like when Jean Redpath asked to sing a duet with me? And I had to get over that, which I'm not sure I still am. But it was just, it takes nerve.
Yeah. Well, let's just do it there's nobody listening. So
oh, good.
Let's hear you sing something. What are you going to do?
Well, this is one that Julie doesn't know yet, but she'll pick it up as we go along, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So another bird song?
No. This is a kitchen sink song.
A kitchen sink song. All right.
You should know that we learned these sometimes transcontinentally.
Okay.
And I would say to Jean, I'd call her on the phone and say, I don't remember how this goes. Sing it to me. And let's sing it together over the phone. So we don't spend hours and hours rehearsing.
Well, just for fun, let's hear it.
Okay. So which is it?
Barn's Ear.
Oh.
Oh, gin I were a baron's heir, and could I dress with gems your hair, and mock ye braw as ye are fair, lassie, for I show ye brosset money's thine, and bosky fine in silk and goon, lassie, for I loo ye. And when the pale and a heathery moor, what ye no greet that we're sae poor, lassie, for I loo ye. What I palfrey mine, o'er palfrey sea, nor am I come o' high degree. Lassie, but I
pretty good for a first time.
Very nice. Very nice.
You notice that she chooses the key.
Yes. Now, when you start off singing like this, a cappella, without any accompaniment, not even the guitar.
At least you didn't say without music, which is how it's been described.
And you both are sopranos, but with large ranges. Both of you can sing high and low. And
Julie does high. I do low.
Yeah.
Well, that started out by her picking the key, and I was going to sing harmony, letting the star sing the soprano line.
Yeah.
However, sometimes she sings in her boots.
Then she switched, I noticed.
Kindly.
Yes.
I let her pick the key. I said, if you pick the key, I'll sing soprano.
So tell us about that song.
It is one of the duets I used to sing with my mother, so I associate it with dishwashing, which is better than the ones I learned when I was being the agitator of the early clothes machine, because she would put me as a 7-year-old into a wooden tub full of soapy water and a blanket to tramp them, which was how they were washed when I was growing up. And, of course, that gets old fast with a 7-year-old, so she'd sing something rhythmic to keep me going. So there's a lot of songs. I smile a lot, and it's totally inappropriate, but it's because I feel soapy water between my toes.
And if you were to translate this song into an English that I might understand more of the words of, what would it be?
If only I were of high birth, I would basically give you everything you could possibly want, but I'm not. The only thing I can give you is my heart.
My heart.
Lassie, but I loo you. I have nothing to offer you,
but
no,
I love you.
No gold, no pearls from sea, but I love you.
A wonderful song, sung by Gene Redpath and Julie Myler here on Keeping the Faith. And I've monopolized you long enough. Let me give the phone number so that listeners may call in with comments or questions. And we'll hear a 6-minute. CD made from the very most recent recording by the chorale, directed by Julie Myler, just a couple of weeks ago at Faith Methodist Church. And we're going to hear what, Julie?
This is the Ave Maria by Franz Biebel, written in the early 1900s. Franz was a choir master of a little parish near Munich, Germany. And in those times and in those parishes, there were often fire departments and police departments and so forth that would have their own choral groups and sing in competitions, much like they do in Wales. So one of the gentlemen, a fireman, came up to Biebel and said, "Would you write us something, please? We're singing in a competition." And that was the birth of Ave Maria. He wrote it then, of course, for men's parts, 7 voices. And as far as I know and can find out, the way it got to the United States was the Cornell University Men's Glee Club visited over there, found it, brought it back to the States. It had a certain degree of popularity. But then when Chanticleer got their hands on it, and you can go to YouTube and hear Chanticleer sing this, it hit the charts, as they say. And Biebel then eventually rearranged it for SATB, 3 women's parts and 4 men's parts.
And Chanticleer is?
Oh, Chanticleer is the most, probably the foremost a cappella men's group, 12 or 16, I believe, and perform miraculous things.
And there are 3 soloists in this.
There are. The Ave Maria is scriptural text, 3 verses, and they are preceded, each verse preceded by the Hail Mary, literally, chant. And the soloist for the first one is Jerry Fry, and the second one, Tyler Zimmerman, and the last one, before the last verse, Leighton Luxander.
So on Mother's Day, it seems appropriate to sing Ave Maria by Biebel, the chorale, 70-voice choir directed by Julie Myler with 3 soloists.
Domini,
We've just heard Ave Maria by Franz Biebel, directed by Julie Byler, The Chorale, from their performance May 2nd at Faith United Methodist Church. Julie, The Chorale has several performances each year. What's coming up next year?
Well, our season begins with a concert in November. It's a weekend festival in Urbana, actually, being held at Wesley Methodist Church. 6, 7, and 8, we're inviting Dr. Renee Clausen, composer, conductor, arranger, and professor and head of the music department at Concordia College for the last 30-some years.
But he has University of Illinois connections.
He does. He got his master's and doctorate here and first began being published in through Mark Foster Music Publishing Company, which was here for a great many years, and is a well-known clinician and traveling around the country.
So what will actually happen November 6, 7, and 8?
November 6, he will come into town on a Friday evening and rehearse with the chorale. November 7th, we will have a morning workshop that will be open to any member of the community who wishes to register and show up at Wesley.
Open to the public.
Open to the public.
Is registration very expensive?
Not at all. No, it'll be $20, $25 for a whole morning and a meal with Dr. Clausen, a chance for question and answer. And in the afternoon, then we'll rehearse with the orchestra. And sometime during the weekend, there will be a video shown that has been made commercially that talks about one of the pieces that we'll be doing of his entitled Memorial. It was a piece commissioned by the American Choral Directors Association of America following the tragedy of September 11th. And that will either be shown, it might be shown both places, at the workshop, and then the final episode for the weekend will be a free concert Sunday evening at Wesley Methodist Church.
So that'll be coming up November 6, 7, and 8 with the chorale. And if there are questions, people can always check out the chorale. They could probably even call you as director.
It's been known to happen,
All
yes.
All right. You want to give a phone number?
586-2970. And very soon that information will be on our website, which is www.thechorale.org.
And the public is invited to some of those.
They're
to participate
invited.
As well as to hear the performance. Well, we've gone from a solo to a duet to a 70-voice chorale. We're talking on Keeping the Faith today about music, the value of music. You're hearing this on Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3, which are particularly good to hear music with, of course. Let's see. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Kyle Croa is our technical director, and the people who call in will hear her voice on the telephone. If you're making a local call, 333-9455, we'll get you on the air with our guests, Jean Redpath and Julie Byler. If it's a long-distance call, it's toll-free. We will pay for it if you punch in 1-800-222-9455. This is a live show. We're happy to have callers with comments or questions as we talk about the value of music. But, Jean, let's hear a solo from you if we could. What would you like to sing for us? You brought your guitar here in the studio.
That's a visual aid.
Yes.
It's really not, it's not relevant to radio.
Well, it's fine if we hear it. If not, that's fine too.
Oh, you're one of those, are you?
Isn't that embarrassing? Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
After 10 years.
That's probably the most polite I've ever been on hearing a phone go off. When the rage is by, the blood grows still. When the tears are dry, the bairn sleeps weel. When the rough winds lower, songsters begin. When the song is over, the quiet comes in.
Sung live by Jean Redpath. Tell us about that song.
It's a poem by Willie Souter. William Souter was the poet laureate of the city of Perth, and his life story is fascinating. He contracted some spinal disease when he was in his early 20s and died at the age of 43. I can never remember. He died at 41 in 44, or he died at 44 in 41, but he was a very young man and spent more than half of his life in bed, bedridden, watching the world through his bedroom window, and wrote some of the most touching songs, love songs as well, of which he could know very little, and that was set to music. It's, I think, self-explanatory, but at this point, I'm never quite sure whether I'm singing in Scots or not. It's not self-explanatory. Okay. You didn't hear it, but Julie shook her head. No,
yes,
it's a foreign language. when one's rage is over, the blood grows still. And when the tears are dry, then the child will sleep well. So it can be applied to children of any age,
yes,
I think.
Yeah.
When the rough winds lower, when there's storm winds threatening, the songsters begin. That's when songmakers start. And when the song is over, the quiet comes in.
Wonderful song.
Yeah.
We have a caller waiting patiently. I want to get to that caller. Let me go immediately to line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Hello. I was interested in finding out, really enjoying the show, by the way, especially the singing together. Really interested in finding out when you hold auditions for the chorale and what the rehearsal schedule is and who are the folks that make up the chorale.
Surprise, surprise, no auditions. We take anyone who is interested in making the commitment to sing, and we make them into a chorus. We rehearse Sunday evenings. We take summer off. So our next rehearsal will be August 30th. We rehearse at St. Pete's Church, United Church of Christ, at 6:30. And what else did you ask me?
What kind of people?
We've lost him. Yeah.
What kind of people? Oh, my goodness. We range in age from this year, 17 to, I won't name names so I can say 80s. We range in occupations from retired to professional people to students to you name it. We're very diverse.
It's racially diverse. It's age diverse.
Yes,
class.
We do not discriminate in any way. We have people who have some minimal music background, some who have not sung since high school, some who remember their good college touring days, some who sing in their church choirs but want other outlets for various kinds of music. We sing all different kinds of music. What you've just heard today, of course, is our more classical spiritual music, but we do New Year's Eve at the Virginia when we do lots of fun stuff. We do folk songs, patriotic songs, and my theme song is, if you don't like what you're singing right now, just wait a minute because it will change. So we welcome all comers, really, especially, and I heard it was a male voice, and so, of course, you know, I want you to call me right away.
Especially if you're a tenor.
Tenors and basses are always needed. But Judy, let's be very straightforward about this. There's no audition, and you're proud of that. But it is a community choir, but you do have very high standards, and you do want people to sing together to sing the right notes.
No auditions. It doesn't by no means mean unprofessionally put together and high standards. I wouldn't have been here for 26, going on 27 years otherwise.
Let's hear a duet.
Oh,
Julie Byler, director of the chorale, and Jean Redpath, singer of traditional Scottish music and many other kinds of music, all available at jeanredpath.com. Most of her 50 albums can still be found now on CDs. Let's see what duet you might have for us.
Robert Burns. Excuse me, Burns.
I had to learn to do my R's that way, too. That wasn't easy.
I'm practicing.
Bends.
you want to pitch this one? Since you complained about my pitch.
Why start now? Heavens, no. I'm singing the top on here, so I'm pretty good. You pick.
Pick a note, and if it works, fine. If not, we'll start again.
We have done that.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Can I just throw in the lovely story since
Well, please do.
A Maud Gold medalist. Now, this is a singer who has reached the National Gaelic Singing Competition, and his accompanist gets up on the stage, and this man, of course, is used to unaccompanied singing. The accompanist says to him, "What key are you singing in?" To which the answer was, "Give me a do, but not too high," which is exactly my approach to the whole thing.
And my comment is that not only did I have to... Jean learns orally, and I learn on the music page. These aren't on the music page, of course. And also, I do learn English, and she claims this is, but as you found out, many of these words are.
And just for other listeners who may not know, do is as in do, re, mi. Give me a do would be the
the tonic. Yes.
First
yes.
note. Okay.
And just for the record, nobody in this room speaks English.
So she reminds me.
That's certainly true.
Including me.
Ye banks and braes o' bonny doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant ye little birds, and I sae weary full o' care? Ye'll break my heart, ye warbling birds, that wanton through the flowery thorn. Ye mind me, O departed joys, departed never to return.
Very nice, very nice. Is there a story that goes with that song?
It's just a paean to the river Doon, close to where he grew up, in Banks and Braes. Thank you. I just hope it doesn't turn into a prince.
Well, when a minister hands you a glass that was water, who knows?
Yeah, right. I mean, 5 foot nine eyes to find out.
It might be why. Jean, you're having a Scottish Robert Burns tour in September.
Tell us about that. It seems to be shaping up very nicely. Well, this year is the 250th anniversary of the birth of Robert Burns. So there's a... If he'd still been alive, obviously not after 250 years, but if he'd still been alive, nobody would have cared very much. But having been dead for 250 years, we make a great deal of fuss. So I look forward. That and the fact that I think the Scottish Tourist Board probably dreamed up 2009 as the homecoming year of the Scot.
Ah.
Between the two of them, they're trying to boost the Scottish economy, I suspect. But we are retracing Robert Burns' tour of the Highlands, which he did in 1787. And I hasten to add, not on horseback. It'll be in rather more comfort for... It's about 10, 12 days, is it? Yeah, September 7 through 18, whatever that is.
And so people who might like to go with you on this tour, and there'll be concerts, and maybe you'll be singing in restaurants with them. Who knows?
Well, the whole, but, you know, the whole freedom of my addiction to opening the mouth and singing when the spirit moves me is that you really can do it anywhere, which means that if we're looking at a cottage or a kirk or a ruin or a scene that Burns has recorded in song someplace, then I can, in fact, illustrate it on the spot rather than have to talk incessantly, which, as you can gather, I don't do much of on a concert platform. Yes, there'll be formal performances somewhere in the course
as
of the week, but mostly it's spontaneous.
So if people want to find out about this tour, can they go to GeneRedpath.com?
Yes, that's the easiest way. There's a link on there for the itinerary and
so
details.
People who would go on this concert or on this tour September 7 to 18, would be traveling around Scotland on the same tour that Robert Burns took in 1787 through the Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a musical experience.
Many other kinds as well, I suspect.
I suspect.
Yep.
Is it true there is Scotch in Scotland?
There's actually Scotch in Scotland that you can't find anywhere else.
I've heard that. I've never been.
Yes. You haven't been?
I never have.
You didn't tell me that before. We wasted all this time. There's a rule. Everybody has to go twice. Time you got started.
I think we're headed for five times this summer we're going. It's a great place.
Feels like five.
When Jean toured with us in Scotland and Ireland, I should add, and she introduced the chorale to a little event called a ceilidh, and kind of caught them off guard, but taught them a few responsive choruses, I guess you would say, so that...
What is it? How is ceilidh spelled?
C-E-I-L-I-D-H, if you're Scottish.
Good heavens.
C-E-I-L-I, if you're Irish.
And what is a ceilidh?
It's a social evening, but these days music is de rigueur. Singing, fiddling, accordion playing, probably dancing if there's room and occasion as well, but it's... can be quite spontaneous. You can have a ceilidh with three people if they happen to sit down and, you know, have a dram and decide to swap stories or have a song. I'd call that a ceilidh.
There are three of us here around these microphones. Give me a short sample of a ceilidh.
Well, you have to join in a chorus then.
All right.
We look in yidane like at last to winter here in tune. Scald is all Miss Carias, and they try to pit us doon. And it's hard to raise three bairns in a single fully box room. But I'll tack ye on the road again when yellow's on the broom. When the yellow's on the broom, when the yellow's on the broom. I'll tack ye on the road again when the yellow's on the broom.
May the listeners join in on the chorus as well?
Yes, but I'd like to hear them. I'm going to put it up a bit because I didn't realize you were going to be harmonizing with me, and it's in your boots, isn't it?
I didn't know what else to do.
Tell about broom quickly.
Oh, broom, actually, you have ornamental broom here, I think. It's a spring plant. Grows wild, blooms very, very yellow, and really it's the earliest form that spring has actually come, because snowdrops and daffodils can still get blasted and buried in snow in Scotland. But broom means, and for the travellers about whom this song is written, it means that they can get out of four walls, away from 9-to-5 jobs, and take to the road again doing the casual labour that's been there. Well, subsistence for many years.
Well, let's let people sing in their cars or their gardens or their garages or at their kitchen sinks as you give us another verse.
Scaldies are non-travellers. It's a them and us situation.
Okay.
Aye, the Scaldies cry a stink of dirt and scones her bairns in school. But wha cares what a Scaldie thinks? A Scaldie's but a fool. For they never hear the yorlin sing, nor see the flax in bloom. They're aye cooped up in hooses when the yellow's on the broom. When the yellow's on the broom. When the yellow's on the broom. I'll tack ye on the road again when the yellow's on the broom. I'm deein for the springtime when we tak the road in smear to the plantin and the perlin and the berry fields of Blair, and we'll meet up wi' our kinfolk fae a' the country roond when the gone aboot folk tak the road and the yellow's on the broom. When the yellow's on the broom. When the yellow's on the broom, I'll tack ye on the road again. When the yellow's on the broom, one more. When the yellow's on the broom,
When the yellow's on the broom, I'll tack ye on the road again. When the yellow's on the broom.
Well, wasn't that fun? And all of our listeners can say they sang with Gene Radcliffe.
I heard it. 85-part harmony. I heard it out there. Yep.
What fun. Let me give the phone numbers again. We're getting a little short on time, but we can get in another call or two. 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455 here on Keeping the Faith. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host. Next week, I'll be off in Springfield, Illinois, at the request of my representative, Naomi Jacobson, to offer a prayer at the start of the legislature for next week. And so I'll ask my listeners of whatever faith to pray for me as I pray for the state legislators. God knows they need it. So we'll have a Don Nolan filling in for me here on Keeping the Faith. And we think the program will be about the Amish here in Illinois. The following week, that's May 17. On May 24, Carly Nix, our Keeping the Faith intern, will be guest hosting, talking about Mormons and anti-Mormons. And then the author, Laura Dean Friedrich, will be talking about advocacy for children on May 31st. Casey Umland and Ramses will be our guest on June 7th, and Federal Judge Joan Lefkoe will be our guest June 14, talking about her mother's book of poetry, Simple Things. Those are some of the programs coming up ahead on Keeping the Faith. Let me just remind listeners that this program is supported in part by the University Y, and they're having their big dump and run collection starting tomorrow, Monday, May 11th through May 16th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the University Y. That's on the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street, right on campus. And you can pull in their parking lot behind the Y and deliver things that you want to get out of your attic or out of your basement. There are a few things they won't accept, but they'll take all kinds of household goods and things for offices and things that students would like, because the Y has this huge sale in the fall when students arrive and students need things for their dorm rooms and apartments. So furniture, or if they're working computers, that's fine, of course. But electronic things, kitchenware, just clothes, books, all those things the Y will take. They will not take individual computer monitors or televisions or large appliances or non-working electronics or large exercise equipment or sleeper sofas. From my days at the Y, I know we can't possibly carry those. But other things, bring to the Y, May 11th through May 16, 9 to 4 p.m. Well, we're down to the last couple minutes. What shall we do? I don't think we have time for the chorale piece. We do have 4 minutes. I think we can sneak it in. Let's hear one more piece from the chorale. Thank you. Julie Byler, you directed this piece of the chorale at their last concert. Tell us about it.
This is O Nata Lux, and it is from Mack Wilberg's most recent Requiem, written in 2007. The cello you heard was Barbara Headland, who joined us that evening for some lovely playing. O Nata Lux, light of all, Jesus, redeemer of us, save us, sons and daughters all, have mercy. Just a gorgeous piece that uses tone clusters, repetitive, back and forth, but just gives that incredible sense of calm and light.
Our guests on Keeping the Faith this afternoon have been Julie Byler, the director of the chorale, and folks who would like to audition may give her a phone call in Mahomet. Their next series of concerts begin November 6, 7, and 8 of next fall. And, of course, Gene Redpath, a noted singer of Scottish music and music of other sorts, singers of Robert Burns, who will be leading a tour of Scotland next September 7 through 18. Folks who'd like to learn about that, please go to GeneRedpath.com to learn more. I'm Steve Shoemaker. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
In Afghanistan? To destroy Al-Qaeda? To make sure the Taliban doesn't get back in power? Both? What's the economic impact of the war on the U.S. economy? And just what would victory in Afghanistan look like anyway? I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, the question of Afghanistan. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
This evening at 7.
We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, the home of WILL, AM, FM, and TV, made possible by a gift from Alice and Robert Campbell.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Billy Baruse, Champaign; Cannon Farm, Camargo; Casey Summers, Mattoon; The Andersons, Champaign; and Jarman Center, Tuscola. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.